Appreciate the good song today and wish them happy anniversary. We, Shirley and I have something in common with Brother and Sister Collins. They were married in October of 1977, and we were as well. And if the Lord is willing, here in just a few weeks, Shirley and I will also celebrate our 40th anniversary. And I'm confident that if she would have been able to come this morning, she would want to tell you how blessed she is. we do wish Brother and Sister Collins a happy 40th. All right, the scripture reading today is going to be taken from 1 John. And certainly ask for your prayers. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, and reading a little ways into the second chapter. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with the 5th verse. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And I'm going to stop reading there, having begun with chapter 1, verse 5, and ended with chapter 2, verse 4 of 1 John. And I want to speak today, and I want to use a title, The Seriousness of Sin. The Seriousness of Sin. And John here in this epistle and in these verses that I have read before you, he made several statements concerning this thing called sin. And I want to define sin strictly from the Scriptures. If we were to say today, well, what is sin? The Bible, and this is also recorded in this same epistle, but the Scriptures give us a very simple definition of what sin is. If you look over in the third chapter of this same epistle, in verse 4, it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. And here's the scriptural definition. For sin is the transgression of the law. So what is sin? Sin is when we transgress God's law. And to go back to what the statement that I made and concerning the title of the message that I would like to use today, I think that we we live in a time, and we need to remember, as it is mentioned from time to time, that God does not change, and He never has changed. God's the same in 2017 as He has always been. He just does not change. God looks at things today the way that He looked at things yesterday. God's thoughts today are the thoughts that He had a year ago. God just, He doesn't change. But certainly we do. And I think that we can see that we certainly are in a time when sin is not considered to be as serious as it really is. I mean, we can certainly see that in our society today, but I'm afraid that that's true among us as well. I'm afraid that that's true among God's people as well, that we don't look at sin in the serious light that we should. But God does, doesn't He? And we have many examples of that in the Scriptures. You know, God, and I have said this before, I heard a lesson taught one time that was entitled, God is a Stickler. And He is. You know, what God says is what He means. And whenever that we find something in the Word of God, and if you look at the article of faith that we hold to in the New Hampshire Confession of Faith concerning the Scriptures, you'll find there the statement that we consider the Scriptures to be a perfect set of heavenly instruction. Instruction. These are instructions. You know, we need to remember and never forget this, that in living for the Lord, that we have a rule book. We have been given rules to follow. And, in the inspired Word of God, we find examples, I believe, of these two things. That God, whatever that God said that we are to do, that's what He expects to be done. And whatever God told us not to do, He expects it not to be done. And He does not, God does not deviate from that. And John said here, and I didn't have any clue this morning that Brother Durant was going to come up here and teach Sunday school and make some of the statements he made in the opening of his lesson concerning sin. But he, one of the scriptures that he referenced is found in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, where we're told that this thing called sin is something that we are all guilty of. It's something that we have all done, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I think that we know that as John wrote here in this first chapter of John and second chapter of John, the scriptures that I have read before you today, we also realize that when the Lord saves our soul, when we go to Him and we repent of our sins and He saves us from our unbelief, that we still, until the day that we die and He changes us completely one day, while we still live here in the world, we still have to contend with the nature of Adam that we continue to have. And so John said that if we make the statement that we have no sin, he said we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I love the writing style of John in these epistles that he wrote, because you don't have to wonder about what he was saying. I mean, he was very plain and straightforward and very blunt in the things that he said. And he said, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving our own selves and the truth is not in us. I love this. I love this promise that we read about here, that he spoke about concerning the Lord and this attribute that the Lord possesses. John said that if we confess our sins, that he, that being the Lord, this, we read here in verse 7 that he was talking about Jesus Christ, and he was talking about the cleansing effect, the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, if we confess our sins, he, that being Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Aren't you glad that the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins? Because there again, the scriptures tell us that we all have them. And so, we need to, and I think that there's two things that as God's people, there's two things that we certainly ought to do in this respect. And that is that we ought to love God enough to have a desire to live according to His instructions. We ought to love the Lord enough to desire in our hearts, all the while knowing that while we're still here, we will not be perfect. But we ought to love Him enough that we would desire to live the way He has told us to live. And I'll tell you what, there's something else, and I'm afraid that this is being lost today. But we ought to be afraid. We ought to fear the Lord to the extent that we would be afraid to go against His Word. We ought to serve Him out of love, and we ought to fear Him to the point that we are afraid to disobey Him. I heard this said one time, and I believe, I agree with this partly, but I heard this said one time that, you know, when the Scriptures speak to us about the fear of God, it's not telling us that the Bible's not telling us that we ought to be afraid of God, but what it's saying is that we ought to reverence the Lord. Well, listen, I believe that the Scriptures teach us reverential fear. I believe certainly that the Scriptures teach us that we ought to reverence God, that we ought to fear Him in that way, but I'll tell you what, we ought to be afraid of Him too. We ought to be afraid to be disobedient to our Heavenly Father. We ought to fear His chastisement enough that we would be afraid to just willfully disobey the Lord. I wrote down, and these are somewhat random, but I wrote down just a few things that we find in the Word of God. And I want to say this too before I read these, that God's Word to us is His instruction to us. It is His law to us. It is His rule book to us. It is not His suggestion to us. He's not giving us options. God is not saying, when He says to do something, He's not saying, do this if you feel like it. Do it if you want to, but if you don't worry about it. He's not that type of God. Ephesians 5:18, we find these simple instructions given in the Word of God. Be not drunk with wine. Well, what does it mean? It means exactly that. It means exactly to not be intoxicated with wine or strong drink. That's exactly what he meant. In Hebrews 10:25, we are instructed in God's word not to forsake assembly. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Well, what in the world does that mean? It means we are not to forsake what we're doing here right now. We are instructed in the Word of God to not to forsake assembling together. That's not hard to understand, is it? In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, and you remember this. We hear about peer pressure. We hear about peer pressure in school. We hear about peer pressure at the workplace. We hear about people trying to get people to do what they're doing and pressuring them into living a wrong life the way that they're living. Peer pressure. Proverbs 1:10 says, paraphrasing, says, when you're enticed by sinners, do not consent. My son, when sinners entice thee, consent thou not. What did God tell us in His Word? He told us that when somebody is putting pressure on you to sin, when somebody is putting pressure on you to live your life in a way that you know is wrong, the Scriptures say, do not consent to that. What did that mean? It meant don't do it, didn't it? That's all that it meant. And it didn't mean to do it and then say, well, I couldn't really help it. It meant don't do it. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 8, what did God tell Moses to do there at the rock? Numbers chapter 20, verse 8, he told him that he was to speak to the rock and that water would come forth. And what did the Lord mean by that? He meant exactly that, didn't he? He meant that he was to speak to the rock. He wasn't to decide that if he wanted to, he could hit it instead, or he could kick it, or anything. He meant that he was to speak to the rock. And we have the example there that when he when Moses decided to do his own thing, when he got angry and he decided rather than to do what God had told him to do, and he took the rod there and he hit the rock twice, he was severely punished for what he did. I'm telling you what, we cannot afford to ever have the idea in our minds that God will ever bless us outside of anything other than a strict adherence to His heavenly instructions. We cannot expect, whether we are an individual, whether we are a collective as a church or as a nation, no one person or no group of people can expect the blessings of God upon them without obedience to His Word. You know, and you may think that this is being run into the ground, but I'm afraid today, from all indications, that we live in a nation today where there are many that still expect the goodness of God upon us and don't want to do what He says. I mean, we don't want to listen to God. People want to defy His word. People want to call His word archaic. People want to say, oh, that's old writings, we've moved into modern times and things have changed and still expect the blessings of God upon us as a people when we don't want to listen to His word. I'm going to tell you something today. That won't happen. You can start in the beginning of the scriptures with Adam, and you can go all the way through the book, and you'll find these two things. You will find example after example after example in the Word of God of these two things. That God will bless people in obedience, and He will punish people in disobedience. What did God tell Adam? The first man on earth. Remember what John said. John simply defined sin as the transgression of the law. And what did God tell Adam? Adam, of all the trees of the garden, you can eat except for one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You are not to eat of that. And in the very day that you do, you're going to pay the penalty. In the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Or, in other words, you will be separated from me. You'll lose the fellowship with me that we have in the day that you transgress my word. The Apostle Paul wrote about that years and years later when he wrote the epistle to the Romans. In Romans 5, verse 12, I'm sure that you all are very familiar with this. He said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. He was going all the way back to Adam and writing to the Romans about it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I want to tell you something today. I want to take just a few moments here and speak to you here today that have not been saved. I want you to understand this. You stand guilty before a holy God of sin. You're in the sin of unbelief. And the Bible tells us that God has commanded you to repent of that. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. You go to the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles and you read Paul's sermon there at Mars Hill. And you'll find something that Paul did not preach to them. He did not say God has made a suggestion that you don't sin. He said He has commanded, or made a suggestion rather, that you repent. He has commanded that all men everywhere repent. What was God's instruction? What was it that God did with Adam there in the garden? He gave him a commandment. He has given the world a commandment. Lost friend, He has given you a commandment, and that is to repent of your sins. And let me tell you something. Every soul that does not, everyone that does not obey that commandment to repent of their sins and put their trust in Jesus Christ for salvation is going to pay the eternal price for that. Oh, I hope you know that today. I hope you see that today. I hope you understand that today. Listen, if you're lost and separated from God, that's not something to take lightly. You're in a terrible shape. If you have not repented of your sins and put your trust in Jesus Christ and experienced His cleansing, experienced the new birth, you're in horrible shape. Hope you realize how serious that it is to be lost. I hope and pray that you won't be willing today to just sit through another sermon, to sit through another service, knowing that you're in that shape, and just push it away and get up and leave as if it doesn't mean anything. It does. It means that you're on your way to eternal damnation. Sin is a killer. It's a killer. Sin is a separator. Read Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. It's our sins that separate us from God. Listen. Make no mistake about it. If you have not repented and trusted in the Lord and been saved, you're separated from Him. Jesus said, or the Scriptures tell us rather, in the 8th chapter of Romans, that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's what? None of His. If he has not taken up his abode in you, you're not his. If you leave the world in the shape that you're in, you're going to suffer the eternal consequences of sin in hell, in eternal fire, forever and forever. And I'm going to say this. If that doesn't just shake you to your core, it ought to. It ought to. You may be gone tomorrow. You may be gone today. Sin separates from God. You know what? That's all I'm going to say. I'm done. I want us to sing. Anybody here today that's saved, if there's sin in your life that you need to get rid of it. You know, we can repent too, can't we? If you're here today and you're lost, you need to obey God's command to you to repent. You need to turn from sin and self and turn to the Lord and beg Him today to forgive you of your sins and to save you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness while we stand and sing. God help us today.
I have two songs. Turn to number 104 and let's do verses 1 and 5. In a day that is not far, at the blazing judgment bar, even now the awful summons I can hear. I must meet the mighty God, I must face His holy word, I must stand before the judgment bar. Oh, my record will be there, be its pages dark or fair. when I stand before the judgment bar. When the book shall open lie in that morning by and by. Oh, my record, oh, my record will be there. Verse 5. Let me turn and seek the Lord. Let me trust His holy word. Let me bow and call upon Him while He's near. Then when I my record face, He will answer in my place. When I stand before the judgment bar, oh, my record will be there, be its pages dark or fair. When I stand before the judgment bar, when the book shall open lie in that morning by and by. Oh, my record, oh, my record will be there. Number 212, number 212, verses 1 and 3. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. Cowards in the service, he will find no place. So keep on the firing line. We must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.